Hello, this is the Love Letter Squad. I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gowan, and we welcome you to another Love Letters Live, which is a show about just that, people's stories and the love letters that come from life experiences that people have written or will write and send to somebody. This is really a show about the magic of the human spirit. It's just one amazing person after another. And our guest today is Rabbi Leo Trepp. And I'm just going to go to you, Rabbi Trepp, and ask you to talk about yourself and your life growing up and what would naturally lead to the beauty of what you've written as your love letter.
Thank you. I'll be delighted, and I want to thank you for the invitation. And I would like to say a little bit about the influence my father has had upon my life.
Starting from your very earliest childhood that you can remember?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you start there?
Shalom Aleichem.
Wait, you know what? I think instead of reading it first, tell us a little bit about what your life was like as a child growing up as your father's son. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And where did you grow up?
That is difficult because it rests on how my father educated me, and that I will discuss in greater detail, and how he has implanted in me all the adequate and maybe even good traits I have had in my life. My father was a businessman.
In Germany?
In Germany. Mm-hmm. And in line with tradition for Orthodox Jews, a relationship of Jewish learning with general culture was essential. And he introduced me to both.
Mm-hmm.
But he was such a quiet man with an old family history. The history of the Trepps goes back to 1450 in the city of Fulda.
Can you tell us a little bit about that ancestry?
Yes. They were, it may have gone further, but we have not been able to research it in greater detail. The family for many generations were the court physicians of the prince abbots of Fulda. And that is one reason why we have their family tree so complete, because every generation at every time somebody had to make notice of what that physician did.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the Cardinal Lehmann of Mainz had his birthday, or something like it, and we were invited to a special service at the cathedral. And all the other bishops from Germany came to the event because he was the chairman of the Bishops' Conference of Germany. Men I love.
You say this is a, this is someone you love, you say?
Lehmann? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the bishop of Fulda came by. And I said, as he come by, you know, my whole family, they were the doctors to the prince abbots of Fulda. And his answer was, now I know why they lived so long.
Yes.
He was the head of the Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
And there were my father just by accident moved to Mainz. And I was born in Mainz.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the right education. He had military service. He was a man completely wholly Jewish and wholly German.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, in many ways, I have felt, an aristocrat. Because, as I shall tell you a little later, little things didn't bother him.
Now, those always interest us. It's the specifics, the little things in life that make the whole more real, right?
Yes.
So what were the little things?
I'll have a lot of little things I shall tell you about.
Perfect. Okay. We'll wait.
Okay. I'm afraid you have to.
Yes, I'm willing to. We're eager to. Want to do it right.
And he was, in my thinking, a unique person. And I will love him, and he will live forever.
Yes.
And in his education, as we shall also see, I asked him, was he afraid to die? The answer you will hear.
Okay. Now, may I ask, how old were you when you asked him this, when you had these kind of conversations with him?
Maybe 7, 8.
Oh, so he was not an old man then when you asked him?
No.
Uh-huh.
No. But he was a member, and of that I will talk, of the Chevra Kadisha.
Mm-hmm.
The Chevra Kadisha was a brotherhood that occupied itself with the dead.
Would we say the burial society?
We say but it is something else which you will also hear. It was a society in minds of only 18 people, because 18 in Hebrew means chai, and chai means life. The leading people of the community, who paid tremendous membership fees in order that they could treat the poor people with the same dignity and honor as the rich.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tremendous honor to belong to it. And when I asked my father why he did this and loved the Chevra Kadisha, because it meant very often to be called in the middle of the day or in the middle of the night to a dying person,
mm-hmm.
to sit with him or her, my mother sat with the women, to read, to say psalms, to have the confession of sins, to have the affirmation of faith. That was the first. The second task was they made the casket out of unplaned wood. It's all in here.
So I don't want you to have to repeat yourself. This is so interesting. Maybe what we could do is just ask you to read the letter now, then, and then maybe we'll have questions and afterward. Why don't you read the letter now? I think that is a good idea.
You may have any question. The only problem is,
mm-hmm.
will I be able to answer them?
I bet yes, but we'll see. Okay, you read to us. That'd be wonderful. This is to your father.
Yes.
What year did he pass away?
That we have in here, too.
This is going to be so complete, I don't need to be here. Go.
Shalom aleicha, neshama tehora. Peace be with you, O holy soul. From far away we greet you, beloved Father, who did find rest at Mainz before the waves of horror could have tossed you from life to painful death. You died in 1941, and we shall come back to visit you, a resting place in German land. God be thanked for taking you to him in time. Small is the stone, because it was the best one could have at the time for a Jew. But one word breaks forth, Chaver. companion, fellow. You were companion to God and to those who truly love him. And in this way did rabbi and congregation ennoble you. The name was yours and is inscribed as name of nobility on the stone. But the stone and its inscription may crumble. You will not. To me, you never will. Dearest Father, you live. Your love has sustained me and will sustain me forever. And whatever is good in me as a Jew and human being was implanted by God through you. You have been the greatest influence on my life, and so it will continue to be. Dearest Father, I love you. I recall one of my earliest memories of you. In World War I, bombs rained down on us from airplanes, and guns responded, and the sky was red at night. And the window in the stairway was open. And you carried me from our apartment in the second floor to the sheltering cellar. And I felt safe in your arms. Many storms have gathered since, and feeling your arms lovingly around me, always, I was able to cope. I saw you for the last time in our lives in 1938 and did not know that it would be thus. For at the end of the year, I was deported to the concentration camp and only released on condition that I would leave the country immediately. I could not see you again. My thoughts in the concentration camp and even later were constantly with you. What had the Nazis' pursuers done to you, whose heart was so weak? What I learned later appeared like a miracle. The SS men going from Jewish home to Jewish home arrested the people. But they forgot our house. And this house had a mezuzah, a scroll at the doorpost, prominently attached to the door at our entrance door, affixed by your request in accordance with Jewish law. And the Nazis obviously had not seen it. You must have known, as we parted earlier, that this was the last time. You gave me your blessing and came with me to the door, and your beautiful brown eyes were filled with deepest sorrow and love as I had to go. You were a man who spoke little and knew much. But you always opened your heart and your mind to me. When I was a child, you told me wonderful stories which you yourself had invented. You taught me Hebrew and Torah and Talmud. You taught me literature and art and music. Your love, specifically for opera, has remained with me all my life. Music has given me spiritual help, and I have always tried to live near a musical center within our country. You were a brilliant speaker, but spoke only to us at special family occasions. You teach me, however, to prepare a sermon or speech, and this became a foundation of my life. In your soft baritone voice, you sang for us table songs on the Sabbath, art songs and arias. On Yahrzeit, the anniversary of the death of either of your parents, you were permitted to lead synagogue worship on weekdays. Your voice held the community's attention. You spoke or sang every Hebrew word slowly, with concentration on its meaning, and taught me to concentrate upon the meaning of a prayer, even reading it first in translation, before later on following the congregation in rapid transition. You never joined any congregational boards. To you, the squabbles and politics in the congregation distracted from its holy purpose and were a waste. But you went to the synagogue daily, if possible. I learned from that. When during the high holidays they never invited you to step up to the Torah and say the blessing, except on a weekdays, we were angry. But you had no complaints. When I bless the Torah, I do so to honor God. Does it make any difference to God if I honor him on a weekday or on Yom Kippur? You gave your fullest cooperation to only one age-old society within the Jewish community, Chevra Kadisha, the Holy Fellowship, dedicated to assisting the dying and the dead from their last days on earth up to the moment when the mound on their grave had been set up. You took it upon yourselves to expose me to the work of the Chevra Kadisha in order that I may learn by observing. Based on this experience, I have established such an organization in every congregation I served as a rabbi. My gratitude to you and the gratitude of those the Chevra served will never end. From early on, I noticed you and Mother for the Women being called to the dying at any time of day or night. You and others would take turns sitting next to the suffering, perhaps speaking to him if he or she could, saying psalms, making confession with him or her, speaking the affirmation of faith, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and speaking it at the moment their soul departed. Why? that you hold the Chevra Kadisha so dear. And I would ask you this question, and he would reply, there are various reasons. It is a great honor to be elected. Only 18 of the most distinguished Jews of the community are at one time members, for 18 in Hebrew spells the word chai, life. Furthermore, it is our desire that no Jew should die alone and no Jew should be buried commercially, and everyone be put to grave in dignity. And for that we impose high membership. Membership fees and membership dues and gifts to ourselves to provide for the poor. Ultimately, the greatest of all the rewards for this work consists in the fact that the person being served can never thank you, not even with a simple thank you. It is a mitzvah, a good deed in behalf of God which we perform. And so has it been for me. Father, I asked you once, are you afraid of dying? I remember the moment you had one foot on a chair and were tying your shoelaces. You stopped and looked up to me and said, no. Why should I be afraid? There are two possibilities. We can lose in death all feelings, thinking, experiencing, as some thinkers believe. Or, as the rabbis have taught us, we can go to the world to come to be rewarded for eternity. If the first group of thinkers be right, why should I be afraid? I shall have no feelings or consciousness. My lifeless body will simply rest in the grave. If the rabbis are right, the world will come, and it will hold more bliss than anything on earth. I shall be with God. Neither expectations gives us reason to be afraid. But later on, we shall see. My father found a way for me to discover it myself. Thanks to my father, and I thank you, dear father, that I have never been afraid of death. Although now, in old age, when it is clear that it will come very soon, some pangs sometimes do come. You let me watch the work of the Chevra Kadisha. The vigil at deathbeds you did not take me to, out of reverence for the dying. You took me to the basement of the synagogue, where the man nailed up the simple casket of unpined wood for the departed. You took me to funerals where mourning met with solace, that peace in pain could end the mourners. I saw the Chevra Kadisha putting the first shovels of earth on the grave and straighten it out in the end. And it took me to a tahara, the cleaning of the dead. And there was one ceremony when a cloth was placed over the body with the words of the prophet, "I'll cleanse you with pure water from all your sins and transgression. Before God, you will be pure." I knew what my father's opinion was about eternity. I had experienced it myself. You took me, and I learned for life, the rabbis are right. Dear Father, when on Friday night you came home, the whole atmosphere changed. If it's God's glory, His Shechina, His rest, His race had ended. A holy serenity filled our home as long as you were there. On Sabbath afternoon, we would stroll along the Rhine. If the weather was stormy, you and I went alone. I could put my hand in your mantle pocket and ask any questions one was. "Why do the painters paint so many naked people?" "My father, because the human body is God's highest creation." "Another question, I think my life will be good. I'm smart and will have prospects." "My father, yes, you are. But there is no life without disappointments and pains." The word coming from his experience and entering mine, the word coming from your experience, which was his experience and became mine experience, has brought me comfort through my life. Dearest Father, you were an aristocrat and didn't know it. You held criticism, but never any prejudice or hate for anybody. You gave us and my brother and me and the family absolute sheltering and comfort in spirit. I remember but one occasion when you became fully emotional for me. It was the last night of Hanukkah, the festival of lights, as all candles burned. In a tender voice you spoke to me as you laid your hands lovingly on my shoulders. "Come here, my child, and sit with me. This is the last time this year." The last time it was, but not of your love, which is abiding. And I want you to know, I love you, Father.
Oh, Rabbi Tripp, thank you so much for bringing him into our life. Yes, now there are more places he will live forever. To meet him through you has been such a privilege. How beautiful every word has been. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thanks to our listeners for joining us, as always.
Yes.
Every guest we have teaches us something new and brings a new person into our life that we didn't know.
Yes. This is an amazingly beautiful letter. Thank you.
So, To all of our listeners, we thank you for joining us. We encourage you to put your loving thoughts into sentiments.
Yes, and if you have any,
and to send them while you still have the chance.
And if you have questions for us that you'd like us to forward to Rabbi Trapp, please be in touch with us through our website, the Love Letters Squad. And we will look forward to seeing you, talking to you next week. So from Teresa and Janet, the Love Letters Squad.
Bye-bye.